Hello everyone and welcome to JFG tonight. I've just went to pump some oil and oh my god, the oil, the gasoline is extremely high price. It's unbelievable and I think it's just the beginning because I think that what we're seeing barely had the time to get impacted by anything related to the war. And so I have to conclude that we were already kind of in a shortage of energy resources, and the war will add to this. And in fact, Russia has announced today that they will be limiting exports, and they haven't said to which country yet. They said they will give the list of countries in the next 48 hours, but this will have massive impact once they announce this. It depends on how large their list is. If their list includes something like Germany, where 50% of the natural gas, I believe, is used from Russian natural gas, this would have massive impacts. Because today, right now, we see certain Western nations, the US first and foremost, banning the import of Russian oil. Now, that's one thing. The US is using 8% of its 8% of its fuel resources come from Russia. So it's a big slice, 8%. It will certainly have massive impacts on the US market, but they will try to soften the impact by going to Venezuela. See, Venezuela, it was like, oh no, no, you guys are too evil, we can't buy your fuel. But now suddenly the American government is open to making a deal with Venezuela, because they have found more evil than Venezuela. It's unbelievable. But that's what's happening. And Putin has now a gas option. Because in this context where you have the United States is making a moral display at low cost for themselves, because 8%, I mean, it will impact the price at the pump. Don't get me wrong on this. But they can do it at 8% of their resources. But Germany couldn't do it, for example, right now. So the Putin gas option is simple. He could decide, because right now Europe is saying we must become independent of Russian oil by 2032 or something like this. They're thinking long term. Putin has the option of creating a shock in the supply by saying, oh yeah, you want to get rid of us in before 2032? I'm getting rid of you right now. I'm getting rid of you right now, and I'm going to stop selling gas to Germany, France, and other nations that are highly dependent on Putin oil. That is the Putin's gas option. Oilmaker says, really disturbing title, JF. I knew it was a disturbing title. I've designed it as such. But that is his option right now. He could play quicker than these governments truly are ready, so that the nations that are campaigning against Russia would pay a massive economic price for their moral displays. Because right now, the words are cheap, you know? And that's a problem. And depending on how pissed Putin is currently at these nations, he might very well do it within the next 48 hours. I mean, it's going to boil down to this. If he publishes a list of small countries or countries that are distant and not dependent on Russia, like Canada, the US, of course they will be in that list. But how hard does he want to go against Western European countries that have talked negatively recently about Russia? That is the question. Because Germany has been siding impressively way too much with America in a way that they probably can't afford. And Putin is about to, if what I believe is correct, if he's going to include Germany in that list in the next 48 hours, he's about to make them pay the price of their joining their NATO friends. Nicholas Petris says, edgy title. That's not a title I could have done on back in the YouTube days, you know? It's just a funny title. It doesn't mean anything else than We are the crossroads of a major economic event here, which is why my question tonight on entropy is, can gas prices double from what they are currently? Currently, they are at their highest, but I personally believe that they can easily double. They could triple or quadruple, potentially, if Putin wants to go hard. And what we would end up with is an axis of development of the Russian-Asian world that would have access to low gasoline cost. And basically, gasoline would become a luxury item in those Western nations, which would please probably people like Greta Thunberg. In the end, we have convinced ourselves into the future state of poverty that awaits our countries when traveling becomes impossible, where transporting goods is so costly that a significant part of what you pay at the cashier will ultimately be influenced by the cost of gasoline. We have spammed ourselves with environmentalist propaganda forever, and now we have someone who's willing to push the button of the gas prices. I think that the current state of the gas crisis is not even induced by Putin. I think that Putin can do further damage. That's what I think. And if he's intelligent enough, he will perceive in the current state of the West a very big weakness. And he's going to use the momentum that he has to push the button and make gas and natural gas resources unavailable for Western Europe. Nationalist says natural gas is up 60% in my area this year. Yeah, and I think it's largely due to environmentalist policies, the increased costs that are imposed by the Biden administration on leftist environmental considerations. I think that if the conflict did anything to these price rises, it's probably less than 20% of the current price rises. I think that this conflict has the potential to do much more. But that's why there's the question on entropy. I'd like to know what you think. There's already three people who have voted yes, it will happen. One person has voted no. Join me on entropy. It is where you can vote for this survey. And it's also where you can send super chats to support the show. The show depends on your generous contributions. And if you'd like to send super chats, you can also use the Odyssey option, the button support. But you have to be logged in for it to work. So create an account at Odyssey. We now have a Odyssey app, so you guys can follow live streams and publish videos on your phone. One moment. Oh my God, I've been outside all day. I've been pumping heating oil, because I think it's the best time to, you know, make some reserves. Even if the price is extremely high right now, I think it's still at a rebate compared to what it will be 1 month down the line and potentially next winter. Sprocket had sent super chats during the night, so let's address them. He said, a few days ago you claimed Russia will win. Since this is a complex war, can you please explain in detail what your predictions are so it will be more awkward for you when they turn out to be inaccurate? Thanks. My God, Sprocket, you have no confidence in my predictive power. people are saying JF is oil maxing. Yes, I am oil maxing. I have capacities to store like more than 1,500 liters of total gasoline and heating oil reserve. So of course I'm making some reserve. I'm ready for a war of attrition here. It's to me, the Ukraine war is just an aspect. To me, we are engaged in a long-term struggle, and I want to be sure that I have everything to survive, even if the system goes to shit. So Sprocket, what are my predictions? What would I consider a Russia win? There are two paths for what could happen that I would consider a win for Russia. One path is a peace path. So if they are able to get what they want in a peace deal, that wouldn't engage too much of their forces, that wouldn't lead to an extended conflict, it would be at reduced cost for them, and they could accept. Now, what I would define as a win for Russia then would be a complete unaffected DPR and LPR republics as they were bordered back in 2014 without territorial concessions. That would be an advance with the current DPR, because the Ukrainian army had actually reduced the size of these of the area under controls by the separatists. So DPR and LPR being in the state they were in 2014 and being recognized as independent by Ukraine, so that would be a large, an important chop out of the Ukraine map. That would be one thing, the recognition of Crimea as part of Russia, and the commitment in a constitutional format or some other commitment of Ukraine that would lock the possibility of Ukraine to have a membership in NATO and a membership in the EU, and the possibility of hosting, for example, American forces. That I would define that these three conditions as a win in, on the side of peace. So that's only if Russia can obtain this through peace do I consider, okay, they've accomplished what they wanted. Now, on the side of war, I think when you go to, if you continue the war and the conflict extends itself at high cost for the Russian army, I would consider you need more than these accomplishments to claim a victory. So what I would define as a victory of Russia would be a territorial domination and control essentially over the entire eastern part of the Ukraine territory, where no significant presence of overt resistance from Ukrainian army forces exists east to the Dnieper River, including in Kyiv. So if Russia can accomplish this, I will consider that my prediction of a Russia win would be accomplished. So basically what that means is potentially Russian forces freely moving into Kyiv, not necessarily without civilian resistance, but certainly without outpost of overt Ukraine army forces. So that's what I would define as a control of Kyiv that is acceptable. Now, Sprocket also asked me two other questions. He said, why is alt media having amnesia on USA special operation in Afghanistan? A state with 2.5 times the population, 13 times the size of the economy, 13 times the military budget, and wide international support couldn't pacify Afghanistan in 20 years. And they believe that Russia subjugating Ukraine is a done deal. Please get your head out of the jar of caviar you got in your gift basket from Kremlin. See, that's what I like about having an intellectual show where we have some minds that disagree with me. I love it because I get the best insults sent at me. I get the best challenges to my views. So Sprocket, no, I do not receive caviar from the Kremlin. That's too bad. I would definitely take it. Vladimir, I've sent you an email. Please respond. Vladimir, please respond. But let's go back to your point, because I got sidelined. Yeah, so comparison with Afghanistan. I think that the comparison with Afghanistan is valuable to understand what Vladimir Putin cannot do with Ukraine. So what Vladimir Putin cannot do with Ukraine is try to have civil management at the micro level, and I wouldn't try to do this. But the question is, perhaps what you don't consider in your super chat is that Vladimir Putin may be much more intelligent and much better a military strategist than the US ever had on their side. So the problem of the US is they tried to micromanage Afghan society. They tried to make a stepwise boom in their kind of modernization, which was absolutely in conflict with the developments in this area, and I would argue in conflict with the kind of Muslim lifestyle that exists in these nations. But Vladimir Putin doesn't have to attempt to do this. See, Vladimir Putin could effectively control or siege the Ukrainian resistance in a way that he doesn't have to engage with them in terms of controlling them in a micromanaging type of way. Vladimir Putin could make a symbolic victory out of Kiev and just install a new constitutional order of some kind that would turn to his advantage and then disengage, so he doesn't have to deal with the Molotov cocktails here and there and the resistance that the insurgency, as Zelensky is already framing it. You know, he says the next stage will be insurgency. Well, that doesn't look like a leader who thinks he's gonna win. Like, can you imagine the US would be at war with some big nation and you would have a Joe Biden come here and say the next stage will be, you know, the Second Amendment and our citizens are armed and we're gonna count on you to defend your houses against the invading forces? You'd be like, wait, Joe, we have already lost. Is that what you're telling me? Because that's what Zelensky is saying. And you'll see in the peace engagements, oh my God, I've never seen a leader of a nation be so subordinated. At this point, Zelensky is opened to foregoing membership in NATO. So he's like, he's trying to get Putin to accept a peace deal at this point. Quite amazing, isn't it? But that happened today, and Zelensky is showing that ultimately he's not ready to defend Kiev. And the progression of the Russian army today, we don't have much videos. There's less and less videos available, but it seems that there is something big preparing around Kiev. The moves are more and more close to Kiev, so Putin has decided to close in on Kiev. Another point concerning your comparison of Afghanistan and Ukraine. There is a major difference between America trying to micromanage a society on the other side of the globe that is Muslim, that has nothing in comparison with America. It's a much more socially distant type of management that couldn't possibly happen in Afghanistan. There is a difference with Ukraine in that the Ukrainian society is much closer to a Russian society. First, there's a major part of people in Ukraine that live as Russians. They live ethnically and in terms of language use as Russians. How many is it? Is it 40-50%, I believe, that can kind of be seen as ethnic Russians total in the Ukraine? So that's a significant amount of people. And also the social distance between American and Afghan versus Russian and Ukrainian is much smaller. So it would be much more possible for Putin to kind of interface with this nation, which, by the way, has already been part of the Soviet Empire. So it's not outside of their capacities to be a kind of subordinated to a greater power. It exists. It's possible. Ukraine has already functioned in that mode. So I dismiss your super chat, your comparison with Afghanistan, although the comparison with Afghanistan teaches us something, that it is hard to micromanage a society through force and violence, but it is definitely not outside of the capacities of Russia, because Zelensky yesterday was talking about the comparison of the forces. He was saying for every Ukrainian tank, there's 40 Russian tanks. And we've seen the numbers yesterday. For every destroyed Ukrainian tank, there's 3 destroyed Russian tanks. So to be in a victorious position, the Ukrainian army would have to be at 140. They would have to lose one tank for every 40 tanks they destroy. They are at 1-3. It's impressive, it's good defense, but it's not enough. Ukraine is getting pounded and destroyed. It doesn't matter that the cost is a little higher in terms of loss of vehicles on the Russian side. Ukraine will lose. Mark my words. And the only error that Vladimir Putin could do would be to interact and interface with the insurgency. The best he can do, if he wants to keep it victorious, just step back when there's an insurgency. Aerial strikes. Step back in. Tillman says, do you believe that really, JF? Yes. I have no one, controlling what I say. I share my just open views and I'm under no pressure. I don't have to take a side. I am merely letting my brain work as it does based on facts and numbers and statistics. The show I've done yesterday to me was very solidifying of my view because I had the impression, but I liked that we could have an access to the number yesterday. And the numbers are not lying here. It's like Putin could lose 3 times more tank and he would still be within a margin of victory. Putin is simply not losing enough tanks for Ukraine to possibly win. And I'll show you that there's evidence that not only this is what I believe, I think this is what Zelensky is believing right now. But again, Sprocket bombards me. You know, he sends me super chats during the night and he sends me gabs during during the day. He says, from the video, Russia assumed they could rapidly conduct regime change and they wouldn't face substantial resistance. Also, Russia didn't tell their soldiers in advance they were sending them to war. This doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to our analysis and to what I've been discussing up to now. Because whether Russia thought they could rapidly take over Kiev, I don't know that that's the case. There was never a sign that this is true. It's a speculation on the Ukraine side. It's a result of the Ukraine propaganda and the people cheering for Ukraine. And it's perfectly fine. You can think that. But I've never had Vladimir Putin say publicly, we're going to take Kiev in 5 days. That's never what has been said. So I'm not going to assume that that's the case. I'm not going to assume that he is disappointed by the performance of his army, although he may be, but it doesn't matter even if he is, because the question is, how much cost is he willing to take before he backs out? And it doesn't seem we have met that point. We have not reached that threshold yet, because he's not backing out. In fact, he's developing humanitarian corridor, which I suspect is the last step before he can totally pound these cities. He's making progressions on the Eastern Front today, and there are installations being put together around Kiev. That makes no doubt to me he's very much set on the idea of pounding Kiev through airstrikes and shelling. The second comment that you give also doesn't matter. Russia didn't tell their soldiers in advance they were sending them to war. The problem is, when you are operating a military like Russia or Ukrainian military, you basically have so much forces within your army that are sympathetic to the other side that any secret that could be revealed to the base soldier will eventually get known by the other side. So that's totally how I would approach it. I wouldn't reveal what are the full objectives of a mission to all soldiers, because that's a guarantee that there will be a leak. So if Russia didn't tell their soldiers that they were invading for Kiev, it's all good. It's a decent military strategy. And I will also point to the fact that this information is based on Ukraine's Russian soldiers being captured by the Ukraine army and revealing that in their interview, under which they can be intimidated. They might be trying to soften their involvement in the plan. They might feel that if they say, oh yeah, I was coming to invade Ukraine, that this will get them in trouble. So perhaps it's not even a true fact. Perhaps it is just a sign that Russian soldiers, under pressure, they will say this to soften the possibilities that they could be mistreated by the Ukrainian army. CNN updates, Russian families turn to Ukrainian hotline in desperate search for lost soldier. More sanctions on Russia. Zelensky warns Russia will not stop at Ukraine. We will come first, you will come second. Is that the speech of a leader that is convinced of winning? If you're convinced of winning, then there wouldn't be a second, right? If Ukraine stands, if you think you can hold Kyiv, then there will be no second country that Vladimir Putin invades, right? So you're telling us that you are expecting defeat. That's what I read in the Zelensky speeches of yesterday and today. The progression here, this is a lot of the activity that I see around Kyiv are positioning, lots of repositioning, and most importantly, in the last few days, when there was Russian repositioning, we were seeing a harsh fight back from the Ukrainian forces. And so for every red circle you would see, either a bombardment or a tank or some advancements of troops, you would see blue circles that were basically strike backs from the Ukraine army. But it seems at this point that there is relatively good penetration of the Russian forces around Kyiv and that they are facing less resistance than they would in the last 4 days. That's a sign to me that the operational difficulties around the Ukrainian resistance have been dealt with and that at this point they are setting up on their last plan for Kyiv, which is the full encircling and full positioning in combat position. We've seen some strikes, many of them we don't have videos, but there are some missiles getting dropped on Zhytomyr, around Kyiv also, and lots of ground forces penetrating Gostomel. Raised Fist says, Jeff, do you think Zelensky is so dumb that he thinks he will win? Well, I don't think he is so dumb, because clearly his speech is letting it be heard that he doesn't believe in victory. But what I think is very cynical and very dirty of him is that he's deceiving the entire world into believing that it's doable. He's bringing in some NATO support that basically you could have thrown these weapons and this money out the window because it's all going to get crushed. And most importantly, the whole NATO collaborative defense that is supposedly happening is absolutely uncoordinated. It's ridiculous. Like, Poland publicly said, okay, we're ready to do the deal with the jets. We are giving all of our jets to this American army base. But in exchange, we ask that the American government allow us to land jets of similar functionality and size. And the Americans responded publicly. Pentagon responds to Poland's proposal on jets. We will continue to consult with Poland and our other NATO allies about this issue and the difficult logistical challenges it presents, but we do not believe Poland's proposal is a tenable one. They've been, you know, the leftists have been rooting on Twitter for the last many days, saying, yeah, the jets are coming. Putin is going to get his ass kicked. And, oh, yeah, we found a way to land those jets. It's going to go through Poland, and Poland will give jets to Ukraine, and America will give jets to Poland. It's not working. The Pentagon is saying it's not viable as a proposal. It doesn't work. We can't give the only soldiers that would be able to drive those jets, we can't give them. Ukraine doesn't seem to be prepared to welcome them, and all of it seems like a workaround that ultimately is an involvement of American forces in Ukraine, which we don't want to do. So they look like idiots on the public space, just trying to strategize with press releases that are meant at displaying, oh, we're totally joining Ukraine against Russia. Russia is evil. But you can't get a jet deal that you've developed hope for in the leftist population for the last few days. You look like fucking idiots who can't do shit. Philosoraptor sends a super chat. If you were unvaxxed and needed to get to Mexico from Canada, how would you do it? I don't know what are the requirements for this, and I don't know how I would do it. If it was really a matter of survival, I might get the vax, but my current attitude and my attitude has been, if you want to force me to get the vax to do something, then I don't want to do that thing anymore. Don't want to travel anymore. I don't want to go to McDonald's anymore. I don't want anywhere where you're going to impose some conditions like this. I'm disengaging from your business relationship. So that's how, Cosmic Nut says, stay in Canada for fuck's sake. Yeah, exactly. That's my attitude. But the super chat was inviting me. What if I had to go to Mexico? Well, hopefully I don't find myself in a situation in my entire life where I have to go to Mexico, you know. I've set my life so that I would never go to I never have to go to Mexico ever. Zelensky ready to discuss and find compromise on Crimea, no longer insist on NATO membership. President Zelensky 14-hour-old ABC News interview, which we detailed hours ago below, is finally getting widespread distribution and is being repackaged as a significant nod to Moscow on what's been Putin's core issue he cited as justification for launching the war. I have cooled down regarding this question, he's saying, the question of NATO, a long time ago, after we understood that NATO is not prepared to accept Ukraine. Wow. That is a leader of a supposedly free nation in a supposedly successful insurgency war against a dominating government saying, you know what, I've cooled down. I'm willing to sacrifice a little bit of our sovereignty. That looks like a defeatist talk. It looks like Zelensky doesn't actually believe that he can win this. And so it boils down to what I've said 2 weeks ago. Or 1 week ago, I don't remember when this all started. But Zelensky is sending people, he's sending the men of his nation to their death. Because he knows you can't win. Pineapple Platypotamus says, Jeff, if you live a long, healthy life without government intervention in your personal life, will you believe in God before you die? Very unlikely, unless I get a brain fart and let's say there's a tumor in my brain and it totally knocks down my ability to think freely. Maybe I'll have a delusion at the end of my life before dying that God exists. But other than this, I'm not the kind of guy. I'm not like Stephen Hawking, you know. Changing my mind at the last minute just before I'm delivered from my broken body. No, it's like I'm much more stubborn than this. Chinese firms, and this is the development of the economic axis, given that Putin finds himself with a major option here. Slow down development in Europe and contribute to development in the countries that support him or that at least are not judgmental of him, like China, India. As it turns out, American mega banks like JP Morgan and Goldman Sachs aren't the only ones buying up distressed Russian assets. Chinese banks are also getting in on the fun. China is considering buying or increasing stakes in Russian energy and commodities companies such as gas giant Gazprom and aluminum giant Russell International, according to people familiar with the matters. The talks are still in an early stage and it's unclear whether the deal will result as the discussions aren't public. This is creating massive opportunities, not ones that I would get into because I don't want to get into investing in the normie economy. I'm only investing in crypto, but definitely there are players who are seeing the crumbling of all Russian assets and they're like, hey, it's still worth something, you know? And maybe in the future, it's what everyone will want. Maybe in the future, there will be a massive axis of development, Russia, China, India, and America will be a second thought. War update, quite impressive when we look at this map of Ukraine. Of course, it's very much a Russian view of things, but essentially all of the borders of Ukraine have been secured by the Russian army. And look at this, they're doing an encircling of the entire eastern part of the army. Apparently, I've seen estimations that there may be 40,000 to 80,000 soldiers, roughly, in this general area, Ukrainian soldiers. And the Russian army is moving in to isolate them so that basically they won't have to fight against them. They will simply isolate them so that they are ineffective and eventually they might surrender. and the moves around Kiev are completing and the encircling of Kiev is relatively successful already and I suspect it will get even more. So man, this is if you believe this map, although I'm sure it would be contested on the Ukrainian side, but what is their contestation worth really? But if you believe this map, it's almost 50% and perhaps more than 50% of the eastern part of Ukraine that is already covered by the Russian army. That is impressive performance. Cloud Warmer sends a super chat. He says, oh no, Biden bros, we got too cocky. And he sends this article by the Wall Street Journal. Saudi Emirati leaders decline calls with Biden during Ukraine crisis. Persian Gulf monarchies have signaled they won't help ease surging oil prices unless Washington supports them in Yemen and elsewhere. That is beautiful. You know, and a lot of people have been questioning, JF, are you insane? You know, to do the coverage I've been doing and to kind of be cheering on the actions of Putin here. But this is what I was after. A weakening of the American empire. And it's beautiful, guys. We're there. We are at the point where the American empire has shot itself in the foot with a combating of its own development through environmentalism and red tape and democratic leftist interventionism. And now the international community is about to shoot America in the second foot by saying, oh no, now it's an economy of raw material. It's an economy of consumption of energy. And we're going to set the agenda going forward. We're going to ask you to help us on Yemen or Taiwan for China, Yemen for the Saudis, Ukraine for Russia. And if you are not with us on these things, you're going to suffer. Because America has been depriving itself of its manufacturing base. It's been developing into a service economy and a parasite of the rest of the world from a political, military perspective, really. And America is about to get kicked out and to become a second-grade nation. This is beautiful. This is as good as I wanted it to be. And we're going to see more of this. The farmers are starting to complain. Do you have any idea the petroleum cost per acre to operate this monster? And we have more than one. Just got out of a family meeting to discuss the rising cost and availability of fuel, fertilizer, and chemicals. Doesn't look feasible to turn a profit. We have to cut costs and go to no-till. Crop yields will be way down. If you can get food in the future, you will pay an astronomical price. To quote the great American philosopher AOC, we don't need farmers because I get my food at the grocery store and I mostly eat at restaurants. Armageddon. I mean, look at this machine. This is where all of my life in the last few years has been set to survive this. Like, I'm still driving around with my Mirage and my accent. I have the two cars that are the least costly from a fuel perspective. I have a greenhouse to produce vegetables and food so that I could survive without the system. And there's so little people who are prepared in that way. I'm looking at the pickup trucks on the road. These pickup trucks cannot be operated decently at the current prices of fuel. The entire economy will become extremely wasteful. It's going to become impossible to travel around, and even going to the grocery store will become an extremely costly endeavor for the people who haven't prepared. Do you want lunch? Says false sense of security, JF, cutting yourself off. It's certainly not a false sense of security. The fact that I trust my local economy, the fact that essentially now more than 80% of the food I buy is basically local. I mean, to the point of being like neighbors on my street, to the point of being parts of my social networks that are willing to trade, exchange vegetables against this or that. It's definitely a life choice, and it makes me feel extremely secure, yes, in that a big hit to the economy and to the fuel and the production capacity of Canada and America will hit me much softer than anyone else. Much softer. It's to the point where it basically wouldn't hurt me at all. And most people, it would hurt them to the point of questioning their ability to survive. King says, JF will be overrun by hungry peasants. Well, for that, the hungry peasants will have to be able to afford the high gas cost to get to my distant location. I don't think it's going to happen. European Union to phase out Russian oil and gas as it seeks energy independence. But that's a phasing out that they announced for 2030. That's where Vladimir Putin has an option here. How about we go green right now in Europe? How about it's not going to be 2030? We're going to make Greta Thunberg happy. It's going to be today. How about Nord Stream stops delivering fuel? And the only question whether Vladimir Putin will take that option is whether he can live without the money. Perhaps he sees his development with respect to trade with the West as being useless for the future. Perhaps he, given all the sanctions, who knows if he still needs, you know, euros to purchase his gas. Perhaps he has other buyers for the gas. Perhaps he wants to use the gas for his military operation. All of these factors will determine how aggressive Vladimir Putin will be in the next 48 hours in terms of designating which country will not receive Russian exports anymore. And what will happen with this list is one of the most important economic events of this year, certainly, if not of the decade. Carlos Killface says, JF, do you think the West will move back to burning the coal and saying fuck you to Greta? I predict that if current fuel scores become too expensive, a space in the market will open up for coal, for even leftists to say no to CO2 bullshit. Granny is freezing to death. We need help. Yeah, it's a possibility that there will be opening for other forms of energy that at low fuel price would be ridiculous to consider, but at high fuel price might become interesting. But I don't know if this will happen. You know, coal is... There's a big problem in terms of producing coal, getting it. It's a solid form of thing. It's cumbersome, is that the word? It's cumbersome to deal with, but it could happen. U.S. markets face an unprecedented era of discomfort that many could never fathom. I wasn't even going to write a note this morning, but then I had an interesting set of realizations while walking to get my coffee. One, many young people on Wall Street nowadays have never experienced real volatility in markets. Two, Russia's invasion of Ukraine and inflation at 7.5% in the US are two extremely different, complex, and unmapped pieces of terrain that we are going to be forced to navigate. Absolutely. Extremely important what's happening right now. All right, let's have a review quickly of the videos of the Ukraine war. There is much less content. Is it because communications are starting to be hit by the Russian army and we may have less connectivity with cell phones, less ability to upload videos perhaps locally? But here we have a couple of Russian equipments captured by the Ukraine army. And I think that those are paintings that the Ukraine army do when they capture a truck. So they were Russian, but they are being colored yellow.
І так,
to say it's not ours.
7 березня подарунок жінкам України. Сьогоднішні трофеї. 59-та бригада.
I think they paint over the V symbols or the Z symbols when they... I see this one had a little V symbol remaining here. Oh no, it's not a V symbol, it's a triangle. In any case, so there are some captured material, but not enough as far as I can tell. Here's tanks advancing in residential areas. I believe this is the Eastern Front advancing. So big convoys. Yeah, with the Z, typically they come from the east, and with the V, they come from Belarus and the north. Nuland warns that Russia may seize Ukraine biolabs, could stage false flag using bioweapon. On Tuesday morning, Bloomberg reported that China had accused the U.S. military of operating dangerous biolabs in Ukraine. We have seen some of the documents around this. We have seen some bacteria, some biological agents that were worked on in Ukraine. U.S. biolabs in Ukraine have indeed attracted much attention recently, said the Chinese Foreign Ministry spokesman Zhao Lijian. According to the report, these claims mirror the diversion tactics China's diplomats used last year when questioned about the origins of COVID. Okay, but that's unrelated. If there were biolabs working on these dangerous biological agents, that's a thing. Doesn't matter how China frames this fact, it is an important fact that illustrates the truth. All right. I'm just checking here. Cloudwire had been sending another link. Just another excuse to give you some credits, JF. Great show as always. And your link was Navy Times. Destroyer can't deploy because company won't get, because CO won't get COVID vaccine, Navy says. Okay, so this is what I'm talking about when I talk of the Western world shooting itself in the foot first. I mean, we've weakened ourselves so much with the COVID stuff, but we started weakening ourselves so long ago, way before the COVID stuff. Shooting ourselves in the foot has been a constant theme of our demographics, our immigration policy, our economic policies, and it's like the people leading our nations believe that, oh my God, we have so much wealth. We can spare a little more here. We can spare a little more there. And oh, here's a little waste, but it's okay. No, it's not okay. When you are in a systematically corrupted context like the West is in, where everything is a flow of lost energy and lost time and loss of money, and when on top of it you hit on your own businesses that are the heart of the productivity of your nation, eventually nothing else can happen in your nation. You neutralize your nation's capacity to produce desirable stuff. Damage in Polohi, Zaporizhia, so that's on the southern front, not so far from the nuclear plants that were captured. We can see damage in this area. Lots of shelling onto the roofs and onto the walls of these buildings. All right. And breaking, one of the Russian Navy ships that attacked you. Oh, Mama JF is coming. Hello, Mama JF.
Hey, hello.
What's up?
Yes, oh my God, the socialists, okay, they spend so much money, okay? Like, just like, we have a friend, like, she work in the kindergarten, okay? Mm-hmm. They spend so much money there, like, all the stickers, all the books, everything, like, we pay taxes for this. Yes. Just because women want to go to work.
Yes, so we hire the woman who would normally just have stayed home to care for the kids. We hire them by the state to pay them a salary so that they can care for the kids of other women who also want to go to work. And now you have to pay the fees for verification of vaccination. Everyone has to be vaccinated. Oh, we're going to give the vaccine for free. Oh, we have to get games, so let's buy some games. And it becomes infinite expenses.
Yes, like she said, like, they have so much stuff. They keep giving her stuff because they have too much, like, games and stuff. Like,
yes.
So much money, like...
They've taken parenting, which was a very simple thing and very low cost and efficient thing. I mean, parenting, it's amazing how you can do it without much. You can make it happen. You know, biology is very stable. Just babies develop into adults on their own. All you have to ensure is some amount of food and care and cleanliness. But they made it an over-bureaucratized, red-taped kind of practice that is absolutely wasteful. And we've done it on the basis of female liberation. So breaking, one of the Russian Navy warships that attacked Ukraine's Snake Island last month sank after a Ukrainian counterattack, military sources in Kyiv tell Fox News Digital. There's not much of a sea component to this war up to now. We've seen the Ukrainian forces just blow their own boat, and then this Navy ship would have been sunk. Ultimately, this war can be won without much sea consideration, especially considering that Turkey is blocking access to the Black Sea. So, because they've decided this, it has to happen on the ground. and whatever forces on the sea were there, that are there, they were there before, because there's no more passage for these countries. Ukraine responds to Russia's ceasefire proposal. It is difficult to trust the occupier. Well, okay, but stop talking like a beaten woman. And you have an offer here. It's for tomorrow. Russia says we're going to make it happen. A humanitarian corridor from 9 a.m. in Kiev so that civilians can escape the cities that will get bombarded. It's totally fine. It's very respectable, and it's a good idea to do this because you want to reduce anyways the population in these cities so that the conflict can boil down to what it is. Whoever is willing to fight, let's fight these people, and whoever is a civilian and didn't want in should be able to leave. But will they be let to leave? Because this Ukrainian armed forces response is not very clear. We're not sure. It's difficult to trust Russia. Well, let them at least try and get your people out of your cities. This could have been done 2 weeks ago. You've decided to keep your people in your cities, to use them as shields. It's time to grow into an adult here and use the opportunity offered to you by Putin. Ukrainian S-300 struck by Russian drone, presumably a drone, in the Kherson area. So Ukraine vehicle being neutralized by the air forces of Russia. So we see it on fire. Those are big silos. Fuel transportation, if I understand correctly, they call it a S-300. I don't know. Total Grimm sends a super chat. He says, are the so-called leaders in the West compromised from corruption or just plain stupid or a little bit of both? Well, I don't like to explain societal phenomena by saying people are just stupid, although people are definitely stupid. Also, they are anti-air missile. The S-300 is an anti-air missile. Well, that kind of neutralization is important because they've been making damage on the aviation of the Russian army, and if they lose these defense systems, it's going to free up the sky for more operations on the Russian side. So I don't like explaining the state of the West with people are stupid, although people are stupid. I like to see things in terms of availability of action, spaces, and incentives. So I believe that the West has a built-in, extremely bad incentive in modern times, which it didn't have before, and it's this whole incentive of the state. Ultimately, it boils down to over-regulation by the state and the growth of the state itself. So every dollar that in your economy is dependent on the state eventually gets surrounded by waste of so many more dollars than the original dollar and what it was meant to accomplish. That's because the state is an ever-growing force, because they get their money without consent. If the state had to attract your voluntary payments, they would have to deliver services and be solid on this delivery. But because the state takes your money against your will and doesn't have to ask you to make the law that they make to take it, then it opens the door to all sorts of unproductive endeavors, because no one cares. No one is there to abolish the state when it abuses. You know, if McDonald's was abusing on the price of their burger, they would eventually disappear. People would start saying, I can't buy this burger at $25 a burger. And eventually McDonald's would disappear. There is no such disappearing force other than revolution for the state. And revolutions happen way too rarely. So because there's no check on the state, it eventually grows and grows and grows, and eventually it becomes the only way you can make money. That's why you have all these boomers and middle class normies just finding something they can do within the state. And the things that they can do sometimes is care for babies, like Mama JF was describing, those garderies à 5 piastres, as we call them, which is cheap kindergarten offered by the state. And of course, there's nothing cheap about the cheap kindergarten. We call them $5 kindergarten. That was the original idea of Pauline Marois when she started this in Quebec to liberate the female. You know, we're going to offer a place where you can drop your kid for $5. Eventually, it became $7, and I think it's even higher now. But the fact is that for every $5 that you were putting in, the state was putting in 12, 13, 14, and eventually incredible amounts of money, because there's no way you can get good childcare for $5 a day. I mean, the unionized worker woman in these places, they're making like $17 an hour because they have a massive unionized capacities to negotiate. So there's no way it can cost $5, but they make it look like it cost $5 because the state is just pouring in this money that they collect by force from people. So that's what leads to the state of corruption in Western society. Corruption happens because corruption is possible. Delcroix says, thumbs up with a candle. What's this candle for? Is this a candle of peace? Skaity says, Jeff, as usual, we agree on the political matter at hand. But it's worth mentioning that the Russian state is no bastion of morality or freedom. Their COVID measures have been more drastic and tyrannical than many other states. I understand why they are engaging, but they are still a tyrannical state. Absolutely, I agree with this. And the way you have to see my commentary on this issue is, I hate that there's a fire. There's a fire in my forest, and I'm alarmed because there's a fire burning my forest. But then I see that there's some other fire that's coming, and it seems that this other fire coming, I'm not rooting for this other fire. I'm not part of the other fire. I dislike the other fire just as much as I dislike the original fire I was pissed at. But I'm perceiving that fighting fire with fire seems to be a possibility here. And then that when the two fires meet, maybe the fire will stop altogether. So you have to make the difference between I'm rooting for the other fire, which is not what I'm doing. I'm not rooting for Russia. I am perceiving a force that can be strong enough to make my fire less of a problem. That's how I see it. All right, what else do we have? Stephen Robinson is on Entropy. He says, Jeff, I live in a small town of 1,000 in southeastern BC this week. Reports came from members of our town that someone stole gas from his car. I predict mayhem by the summer in all major cities. Yes, I was looking at this today. At the price of gas, we are entering the prices where theft will be much more common. It will be much more interesting for thieves to take the means to steal gas. It will be the only way for some people to transport. So yes, it's coming. Stephen Robinson says, hey, JF, did you read that Israel was only accepting Jewish Ukrainians and that they were sending non-Jewish Ukrainians away once they had already traveled? I put an article about this on the general section in the Discord. Yes, I saw this, and I saw how they were presenting it, and it was hilarious because they were saying Israel has welcomed the XXX refugees to Israel. Isn't it amazing? And And they added at the end of the sentence, many of them non-Jewish. And I was like, many of them non-Jewish. What does that mean? Because you're giving me a precise number on the number of refugees you took in. And then you're being very loose about, oh yeah, many of them non-Jewish. And what does that mean? It means, oh, you've taken the boyfriend and the girlfriend of your Jewish refugees. Like, okay, there was a Jewish refugee that you've welcomed, and then he had a dog. The dog is non-Jewish. It's like, yeah, I could see in the way they were phrasing the sentence that, okay, basically you've taken in only Jewish refugees. Look, and you know, this is almost classical Richard Spencer here. Why don't we do like Israel? Like, why don't we think? Why wouldn't our society work on this basis? You know, the Indians are taking in their Indian students back to India. The Chinese are taking their Chinese citizens back to China. Why don't we approach it that way? Why don't we take white refugees? It's like, oh my God, I can say it. I couldn't say it on YouTube, but we are on Odyssey. We can start talking about taking in the white refugees, you know, since the Jewish refugees are in Israel, the Chinese refugees are in China, the Indian refugees are in India. This is an utterly insane and unbelievable response from the Pentagon. The US government must reverse course on this. We cannot win this war from a position of tepid fear. Ukraine fights us all. We can give them the tools. Thank you to Poland. This was in reaction to the US saying, you know, this whole deal of the Poland jets, they haven't consulted us on this, and we don't think it's tenable. The leftists are seething on the Twitter because everyone was like, oh my God, if they talk about it, it must work. It's going to work. No, the jet thing is not going to happen. And I was pointing to how ridiculous it was yesterday and 2 days before. It's a ridiculous idea. You're going to do proxy war with jets and switches of drivers, and ultimately you would be involved in the war. And Putin would rightfully look at you as engaging with his enemies. Guy from V says, is JF back on Twitter? No, I'm not back on Twitter, but they haven't truly banned me. They're still allowing me to pull up pages on Twitter. Look at, they still have my face, and it's still my name, it's still my account. But I cannot speak on Twitter. That is what happens when you're banned from Twitter. You're still capable of being on Twitter. You just can't speak. It's my speech rights that have been taken. Kiev has transformed into a fortress with its resident determined to defend it. So I think that's the current situation. Basically, the Ukrainian army is totally withdrawn to the Kiev fortress, and that's why there's so much movement, so much free movement on the side of Russia. I think what's coming in the next few days after tomorrow, because tomorrow will be the humanitarian corridor, I think it's going to be the last moment for civilians to flee. After this, I think Putin is prepared to do the full assault of Kiev, because his forces have been making massive movements relatively unopposed today. US surprised, wasn't consulted on Poland's announcement of jets for Ukraine. This level of huge contradiction among allies on such a big development is just a bit awkward and even embarrassing. The Biden administration is saying it was caught completely by surprise at Poland's declaration hours ago that it would send all its Russian-produced MiG-29 jets to Ramstein Air Base in Germany for the United States to be able to transfer them to Ukraine. It's like, you know, this situation where someone gives you something that you don't want. You're like, I don't want them. Please take them back. Poland is trying to put jets in American hands. They're like, yeah, you go for America didn't say they wanted it. So this is all military strategy by happening on Twitter. This has been a Twitter press conference type of military strategizing, and it's failing so hard, it's funny. And as we prepare for the end of the show, oh, Mama JF is coming. What is up, Mama JF?
Hey, talking about the Kiev, we watched the movie Chernobyl.
Oh yeah, we watched it's the HBO teleseries, a total of five episodes. We watched the first episode. It was very interesting.
It's so good, I liked it.
Yeah, it's fictionalized, you know, we don't know to what extent all these details are true, but they paint the picture of basically the failing of a government and people being too crazy about the Soviet Union and therefore being incapable of looking at the situation objectively as this reactor blows up and they end up all radiated by the alpha particles and stuff.
But is this really true? Is it impossible because they only put themselves in the trouble? It doesn't make sense.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can end up putting yourself in trouble because...
But why?
What the teleseries at least suggests as an interpretation is that they were so obsessed with the kind of socialist mindset that they couldn't admit error, that they couldn't admit there was something grave to be dealt with initially, which is why a lot of first responder have died or have been exposed to enormous amounts of radiation.
But it's weird, it's like they only hurt themselves.
Yes, well, they also hurt countries of Europe that had the draft of winds, and they ended up with increased amounts of cancer in the next 10 years.
Yes.
But yeah, they did hurt themselves a lot. But that's a system in which you're not able to freely speak and freely share your concerns, and where you are scared of the potential response of the intimidating state agents, is a system where you can self-deceive into things that are against your own interest. Because you're so paranoid that, oh my god, this is so grave, the communist government is going to go after me. And they did, to a certain extent. The communist government found scapegoats and punished them. But yeah, there may have been a systematic problem in too much centralization, too much intimidation.
I guess they were scared of the government.
Yeah.
But the guy, he makes me think of you, okay? You're like, I saw the socialist core and it's blown up, it doesn't work anymore. And then everybody's like, no, GF, you're disillusional.
Yeah, it's funny.
And then you just go to the North Pole and everybody die.
Yeah, very interesting comparison. But yeah, there's like a series of guys who go into the nuclear reactor and they're like, there are no more nuclear reactor. The whole thing is blown. And the boss is like, nah, that's impossible. A nuclear reactor cannot blow. How many rods are there? And they're like, there are no more rods. There are no more nothing. Everything is blown. And it takes like three or four people to get in there. They get exposed to massive radiation. And he doesn't want to hear it. Because the philosophy was that a nuclear reactor cannot explode. It's really designed to hold a small nuclear reaction that will produce heat, but it cannot explode. But it did explode in this case, and the technical reasons are quite complex, but they include the accumulation of a byproduct. Ultimately, what's impressive about the... And I've not figured out all of the technical details, why ultimately it blew. But I'm reading about it, and it's quite interesting that ultimately it's a combination of various things. And ultimately, it's a shutdown. Like, if the nuclear had kept going, they would probably not have blown the nuclear reactor in Chernobyl. It's ultimately because they shut it down, but there were some problems in the way they handled their shutdown that led to cooling issues. So one of the big issues is that if the reactor starts producing too much heat that you don't take away, you end up with a problem. And there were also pollution of the inner reactor by a xenon 135, or don't quote me on the name, but there's kind of a byproduct. It's a molecule that it's a particle that is produced in nuclear reactors and that in normal functioning gets burned also. But as you shut down the reactor, it doesn't get burned. And so because they were shutting down the reactor, and there was improper cooling, and the fact that it was happening at night and it wasn't the day shift, and they may not have been as prepared to handle this situation, and there were a stack of other reasons, and there was the pollution by this xenon particle that's an unstable particle that normally gets cleaned up the reactor because it burns also in the reaction, but because they were in a shutdown, it couldn't burn and it continued polluting the reactor. All of this taken together has led to the explosion, and probably more. I'm learning even more as I read more and more. But definitely the HBO teleseries with 5 episodes is worth looking at. I've looked into the first episode and I'm going to look at the others. Can gas prices double from what they are currently? 10 say yes, it will happen. So people are really convinced. So that means we're going to pay double. That would mean we would pay double what it currently is, and it's already at its highest. I also am in the yes section. 10 people have voted yes. One person says it could, but it won't happen. And one person said no. Well, I'm very glad of my decision to have made some fuel reserves. I think it was a good decision to do today. That is it for today. Thomas O'Ward says the USA is done, short of a domestic uprising and overthrow, which of course I could never support as an anti-insurrectionist. We won't survive the $10 a gallon gasoline prices, let alone China and Russia lining us up for the classic pincer maneuver. I'm happy when the lights still switch on. That is exactly my position. I think it's what's happening. The US is getting played right here. And I see a future world 50 years down the line. I see China perhaps at the center of the world, and America with its brazen attitude, its brazen military attitude will be looked at from above by China. And it's a beautiful thing to see, because ultimately it's what I want. I want this dirty American empire to lose all power that it can, so that it can refocus on itself and eventually realize that it has moralized in foreign countries, when in fact it should have improved itself. It should have stopped pursuing the crumbling of individual rights, the crumbling of constitutional rights that it has, as it was turning into a totalitarian empire. Much love. I'm excited, although there is lots of pain ahead. I'm excited because this pain, I hope, would make us better. Mama JF says, what about white people? Ain't they gonna be wiped by this? No, they won't. They will be. There is pain, as I said. There is pain ahead, but white people will survive as they can, as a band of travelers across nations that will find peaceful places that can leave them live alone. and we won't have the wealth that we used to have. We won't have the ease of life that we used to have, and we won't have the power that we used to have. But we will have ourselves and our families, and that's all that matters. Much love. See you all tomorrow. Thank you.